Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. It's a beautiful day. It's beautifully and sunny outside yesterday. It's raining today. Get rid of some of the pollen. Who's having problems with pollen? My kids. I have tissues all over my house because they don't know where the trash can is. Every day I walk through and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to put trash cans everywhere. So I do, and then I find more tissues on the floor. Doesn't help. Went for a treat today. I get to see these ladies all the time, but it's rare that they all get together and sing. It's three generations of, I don't know, just the most beautifully talented, sweetest ladies that you could ever possibly meet, and I get to be married to one of them. So that's good. This is her mother, Karen KK Mann, and this is her grandmother, Jean Carroll.
Callahan.
I'm sorry, I get nervous. So this morning we're going to sing some hymnals, some old-time stuff, and I think it's going to really, really take you back to a place. I know it does for me. When I grew up, we grew up in a church. It was Primitive Baptist, so we didn't have a piano because those were sinful. Apparently Kitty doesn't care about the sin. But this morning I just want you to go back to a place in your heart where you met him. Go back to a place in your heart where you know the truth, and the truth does set you free, and the grace and the mercy just flows through this music. At one time, this was cutting-edge music. This laid the groundwork for what we do up here today. So without this, we wouldn't have what we have today with the freedom. So listen to the words and feel that grace and that love that flows through this music, because it's directly from him. So God bless you, and good morning.
Y'all want to stand? We'll sing. Well, I want to hear voices singing along.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Bought me with his redeeming
That was laid in praise and worship, God, that the heart and the soul of each person that wrote each of those songs, God, that they are still a good today, God, that your word started there and it continues to proceed and it continues to move on and provide love and security and grace, God, that you have always shown. Thank you so much for those people that built that foundation of your word and your song, God, from the times of David up to right now, God, that we get to continue to worship you. God, you are so good to us. You are so faithful. You are so true, God. You are always so good. We thank you for being our strength and our support and love. God, we love you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
Good stuff. Your fears relieved. That's a powerful statement. Your fears relieved. I hope that your fears are relieved by His grace, His mercy. Well, Pastor Buren brings you greetings from the Grand Caymans. I don't even want to say it. After Big Mama passed away, this trip got planned. And anytime Buren is on a trip, he's always planning his next trip. So we'll have to see where it is. But the islands is where he wanted to go. And so they are there. But he had something very important that was to him that he wanted me to say to you that this morning. And that is there are still two spots available in the fishing trip in June that he would like to fill. So if you are interested in the June fishing trip, There's two spots there. And those that are, we have almost 20 guys that are going fishing, and so your deposits are due by May 21st. And he wanted you to know that too. Usually most golf things and events, and I handle the logistics. The fishing trip is one I turn over to him. I say, you handle it. You do it. And he does a good job at it. So I'm glad he wanted to get his announcements out there. I'm so grateful and thankful for you, for what you, for who you are, what you allow God to do in your life. For those of you that serve, have found a place to serve here at Eagles Way, we had someone that, on their birthday yesterday at Rushton Hope, serving and giving of their time. Lynn, stand up real quick so everybody can say happy birthday. She served yesterday. If you're on Facebook, you probably saw them singing happy birthday to her. But it's your faithfulness to this house that makes a difference, not only in this house, and it makes a huge difference in this house, but it makes a difference in our community, and it's touching the world. If I had a theme for this morning, it would be remember the goodness of God. From all of those hymns that we've sung, remembering some of you, I wasn't grown up in a traditional church that sang those. The church service that I went to every Sunday morning, I would get up out of my bed and go downstairs to my living room because our house was where we had home group fellowship. And we didn't sing the traditional songs, but we had choruses and things that we sung. That now some of you even think some of those choruses that we sung back then that were so new and cutting edge were our hymns, and they're really not even hymns. But the goodness of God. We forget sometimes those things. Today is Alm Sunday, and actually normally it's the last Sunday of the month, which is this month would be the fifth Sunday of the month, but we're not going to be in this building next Sunday, and I'll tell you more about that. But so alms that we give go to help those who are in need, both in the house and then outside of the house. Those alms that are give someone that is poor, someone that maybe just in a time crunch or a dollar crunch, that those alms that are given is how we pay for the food to serve at Rushton Hope. We serve, you didn't know this maybe, or you might not have known this, that you serve a meal every month to approximately 250 to 300 people that may not get a meal that day in our community. And when I say you, because whether you're actually the ones going and fixing the meal, because we've got a fairly decent team that loves to get up and they come and they fix that meal, and they do a great job at it. And then we've got another team that is in need of some helpers. So if you've not done that, the team that goes and serves, we need at least, the minimum is 6 people every month to be a part of that team to go and serve the meal. It's from 10 until 1 on the next one will be May the 27th. This year, normally it's been on the third Saturday, but it's going to change up just a little bit this year. We're doing, Rushton Hope has had to do some things different, so we're working with them. So we'll keep it in front of you. But if you are interested in that, I would encourage you to be a part of that. But these alms, all of those funds go to do that. We average about $25,000 a year in alms coming into this house and going out to touch people's lives. I think that's pretty significant. I think that's pretty encouraging. I think you need to give a hand. So whether you're able to actually serve on that particular Saturday or whether you're giving to these alms, you're making a difference in this community. You're touching people's lives. The love is being shared. If you got a bulletin this morning, there's lots of important information that is in your bulletin, but probably the most important thing that is in there is this little card. And it's important to us as staff and as pastors, as leadership, because this is a way that we are communicating with you, and you are communicating with us. Okay, so whether it's a prayer request, whether this is the way that you sign up for Rushton Hope next May, or that you sign up for the up-and-coming prospective member lunch, this is the communication. There's no sign-up sheets that are out in the foyer we need you to do this. As members, you should be doing this each month or each week that you're here. Not each month you're here, you should be here each week. Each week that you're here. I said that wrong. If you're visiting, we would love for you to fill it out also. We're looking for just an email or a cell number. We're not going to show up at your house. Obviously, you're not giving us address, but we just want to communicate with you, see how it went, see if you're looking for other information about a church, or maybe you were just visiting with family for the day. But that's the way that we can communicate with you. So you now have until we receive the offering at the end of the service to get that filled out so that you can drop that in the bucket when it comes by. I want to introduce somebody to you this morning. Some of you know him, some of you may not know him, but Scott Chervinsky. Scott Chervinsky is one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. And if you haven't gotten to meet him yet, you need to meet him. Not only is he a nice guy, but he's now my brother-in-law for several years. Scott, come on up. And Scott has got a hold of something in the recent little while. I don't know exactly how long it has been. I get the privilege of sitting down on Monday morning and going over the bills, and we're paying this and we're paying that. And Barbara does all of the input. And whether you realize it or not, we don't sit around and talk about people in the office. You may go to a counselor and share your stuff. We don't hear that stuff unless you share it with us. Now, if you write something on this little connection card that is a prayer request for the pastors, then that is shared. But as far as your stuff, and so I don't sit down, or Pastor Buren doesn't sit down each week and go over who's giving and who's not giving. And I went into Barbara, because Barbara is the one that does those input, and I said, who is someone that over the last little while, you've seen a change in their lives in the area of giving? And we made a list of about five or six people that have really just, and I contacted a couple of them, and a couple of them weren't able to be here this morning. But Scott was one of those names on that list. And I called him up. I said, listen, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. And I said, you know, I just want to, there's been a change in your life. And I gave him three questions that I was going to ask him, and he may have more to say than just the three questions. But the first question that I wanted to ask him is, what convinced you to start tithing? Because there was a period of time that he was attending here that he wasn't tithing. So, Scott, what convinced you to start tithing?
You know, I thought a lot about that. And it kind of went back to three things. The first was, years ago, I attended church with my sister and her family when I went to visit my nieces and nephew. And we're sitting in the pew, and the offering came around, and the bucket was passed between my sister, and then all my nieces and nephews came to me, and it just moved on past all them. And it got, you know, just a little past me, and I hear a whisper, Uncle Scott, Uncle Scott. I look down, my eldest niece, at the time she was probably 4 years old. It's like, the bucket back, the bucket. Okay. So I hand it back to her, and I can still see her. She grabs her little Dora the Explorer change purse, opens it up, and empties it out into that plastic bucket. And, of course, in my mind, all I can hear is the sound of that change hitting that bucket when it was extremely quiet. So I'm thinking, oh, okay. So she empties it in there, and it passes on, and, you know, church ends, and we're walking out together. And I told her, I said, that was a really sweet thing that you did, giving, you know, your offerings like that. And she looked at me, and she said, you know, I noticed you didn't. In as non-judgmental a way as a four-year-old can say something like that. And, of course, I went to, oh, I didn't bring my wallet, and I didn't have my check. But she just stopped, and she goes, you know what I learned, Uncle Scott? And I said, what's that? She goes, you know, whatever you treasure the most, that's where your heart is. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. Where your treasure is where your heart is. And it made me think, and it didn't cause an immediate change. And, you know, so that kind of planted the seed. And then I guess time went on, and I realized I was making more excuses as to why I wasn't giving as opposed to why I was or could give. So that kind of helped the seed grow a little bit more. I tell my daughter Kat all the time, you don't make excuses, you know, just accept it, say I'm sorry, and you know, learn from it, move on. I'm fine, and I'm making excuses as to why I can't instead of doing so. The seed grew, and then the final straw, really, to be honest with you, And it didn't happen immediately with me, but what I learned was the final straw and really making me want to give was not, it was about a year after we had moved here, and Kate and I and Kat had just moved into a new house, and I still had my house in North Carolina, and we had had that for at least a year. It was during a very difficult time in the economy. The house wouldn't sell. I just was incredibly stressed about how am I going to continue to pay for my house in North Carolina and the bills there and the house here and the bills here and everything that keeps coming up. I was just drowning in stress. And I would talk to Kate about it, and Kate, just in the middle of the conversation, said, "I know what we can do." And she shot up, and I'm like, "Okay, well, we'll see." And she gets her checkbook out, and I'm like, "Well, that's fantastic. That's helping me out a lot. What bill did I forget?" And she starts filling out a check, and I see the amount. I'm like, "Ooh, Lord, what bill did I forget?" And she wrote Eagles Way Church on the top of it. And she said, "That's what we'll do." And she didn't tell me why. She just said, "We need to give. We need to give because that which we give, we get back tenfold." And I'm not saying that caused an immediate improvement in my finances and it made all that. But what it did for me is it realized that, you know what, if it's that simple for her, if she can just let go and trust that that is going to come back tenfold and improve our lives, it allowed me to just relax. I released all that I was hanging on to. I just let it go. I released it. And it made a big difference. And that, I guess, was what grew in time for me to be able to realize I just need to give because I get it back. I see it in my wife. I see it in my daughter. And that's what I want to see in myself.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Do you have more to say?
No.
You did awesome. You covered the other two questions. That's why I didn't read the other two questions. Malachi 3, verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there is enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from the insects and disease." I just encourage you, remember what God has done for you. Remember those things that He's put inside of you. Bring in your first fruits, your alms, your tithes, your offerings. I wrote down that it pours out a blessing. How many want a blessing? How many want your crops to be abundant? That means whatever it is that you do, whatever it is you planted, whatever it is that you're producing, whatever it is, not only are they going to be abundant and they'll come. Have anybody planted a garden and it didn't come up? I remember planting this tomato plant, and it was a real live plant, but it never did grow. It just didn't produce. And so it's going to be abundant, and then He's going to rebuke the devourer, is another version that is said. He's going to keep the insects away. He's going to keep the worms away. He's going to keep the stuff away that wants to destroy what it is that He's giving you. So I encourage you in that. Ways that can be done. Many of you are, you come in here and you get a tithe envelope and you put cash in your tithing envelope and stick it in the offering plate that way. It's great. That works. Many of you just drop a check in the offering bucket as it comes by, and at the bottom some of you put such and such for tithes, such and such for alms. That's a great way to do it. Some of you now are not even, you're doing it at the house. You have the app. You've downloaded the app, the Eagles Way app. You can go to your Google Play Store or iTunes Store and look up Eagles Way Church and download it. Or you can even text the number. There may even be something you can text, and it'll send you a text back. And you can do it that way. And you're giving online. Any way that you choose to do it. The reason for it is not so that Eagles Way can be so prosperous. Not so that we can continue to touch people's lives in our community, even though that's important. The things that we're doing, the people that we're touching is huge, and that's important so that you can be blessed, that you can be prosperous, so that God can do something inside of you that He wants to do, to learn that trust, to allow you to grow, to allow you to share that with someone else, to make a difference in people's lives. That's pretty cool. Anybody have any idea what 2017 is all about at Eagles Way Church? It's on the screen. the banquet, the table. Pastor's been talking about it. He's going to continue to talk about it. Being who God has called you to be, and it being so a part of you that it becomes your life. It's not something you do on Sundays. It's not something you do on Wednesdays. It is who you are. It exudes out of you. It ought to be that on Sunday morning, you're so excited that when you wake up, you want to be at church. I got to be here because it's going to infuse me with the energy. It's going to infuse me with the excitement of what I need. And the scripture that Pastor's been using is Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet." We want to be able to taste God's banquet. The meal that he prepares is the most important thing that there is to have. And so as we are preparing ourselves, and I'm speaking to the choir right now because you are here and everyone else is not. Now granted, this is spring break week. There are times that you take vacations. We do not expect you to be in the house of God every week. But coming to the banquet table, you are bringing something with you when you come that other people need. It's an encouraging word. It's a smile. It's you're bringing a handshake or, "Hey, you're looking great," that they may not have gotten otherwise. This banquet, this theme, in the end of last year, we were beginning to plan, what are we going to do? What are some of the things we can do different? What are some things that we do well, and what are some things that we need to change up? So we had an idea. We have no idea if it's going to work or not, but we hope that it will, and you may play a big part of that. We are not having service in this building next Sunday. Our service will be at the pavilion. They have built an outdoor amphitheater. The stage is right down by the lake, so you will be sitting in chairs, and it's fairly easy to get to. And with those of you that do not get down a hill as easy, there's some areas where you will be able to get that it is very easy. You'll be able to be dropped off and do that. Your view is going to be remembering God, because you're going to be overlooking the lake, seeing our band play, being led in worship, and Pastor Buren bringing the message. It'll be different, it'll be unique, but it will be incredible. Our service is not until 11 o'clock. Okay, so get to sleep in an extra hour. Enjoy that time. And if you show up and forget, and someone will be here to remind you that it's out at the pavilion, it's very easy. You can Google the Lake Pavilion on Aerodrome Road, or for those of you that don't know how to do that yet, just take Meriwether Highway 362 down to Carver Road, turn left, go down to Aerodrome, turn right. And if you get to the stop sign, you've gone too far. It's on your right. Bingo, horses, paddle boats, kids' games, all of that will be there. Be good. If I had to give you a title today, my title would be Faith for God, What God Wants to Do. Remember, the theme is remembering the goodness of God. But he wants to give you faith. He wants to empower you. He wants to infuse you. Faith for God, what God wants to do. In you. Jim, what's that? In you, to you. Oh, one more time. To me, in me, through me, from me. Faith for that, what he said. The mission here at Eagles Way Church is to show God's unfailing truth, mercy, and love. Those of you that are members here, think about that for a second. On a daily basis, are you showing truth, mercy, and love? I know a lot of you are. I'm sure all of us miss it at times. Our vision here is to be completely devoted to Christ. Just three things. Completely devoted to Christ. Irrevocably committed to one another. And passionate about reaching the lost. How do we do that? We have lots of ways. But completely devoted to Christ means that he is your number one. I ran into one of our members this week, and he was eating lunch by himself. And I'd already thought I needed to connect with this guy. And I said, hey, can I sit down and eat with you? He said, yeah. And going through the process, he was sharing some things that was going on in his world, and probably one of the worst days that he had had this year. This year has not been the best of all the years in the past, and it was all kind of culminating. And I was just able to encourage him, you know, as you continue to keep your priorities, God, your wife, your family, and then your job. He goes, I hadn't done real good at that first one. I said, it's okay. You can start now. Make it the number one. Completely devoted to Christ. Irrevocably committed to one another. It is easy to be completely devoted to Christ at your house, but you takes that next step level when you're irrevocably committed to one another. You have to be somewhere with someone to be with them one another. Did I say that right? In order to be around another, you have to be somewhere for that to happen. So here at this house, some people have said, well, you're just condoning sin. No, somebody may sin, and we're going to love them through that. We're going to encourage them through that. We're going to empower them to reignite the passion that they need to have for Christ so that they can move beyond that. Because that passion for others in reaching the lost is why we do the things that we do. Now, this day at the pavilion next week, is it just for you here? I sure hope not. It will be something different. It will be a unique service if it's just Eagles Way folks that show up. But what an opportunity to say, hey, you know, you've thought about coming to church, and you've said this before. We're doing something kind of crazy, and we're not even having a church service at our church, but we're kind of having this service out at the park or out at the pavilion. What do you think about coming to that? And I go, yeah, and there's grilled chicken and baked beans and coleslaw right afterwards. Now you got me. Pastor Buren wanted to have the banquets. He wanted to, and we're having at least two banquets, and this is one of our banquets that we're having, that we're providing. There will be an opportunity to give a donation, but you don't have to give a donation for the banquet. And he knows that as you partake of that, as it sinks in the physical aspect of it, that you're going to grasp hold of it in your emotions, and it's going to transfer into your spiritual. So it will be all-encompassing. Galatians chapter 6. What does God want to do in you? He wants to give you faith for whatever it is that He wants to do in you. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Think about what are you planting. "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good." My encouragement to you today is, let's not get tired of doing what God has called you to do. You're remembering these things that He has done. You took these hymns and you listened and it brought back some memories. I'm encouraging you now to remember the things that God has done in your life. Because you know what He has done? He has set up some markers in your life. Finishing this up, it says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, we have the opportunity. We should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." You should do good. Lynn did good yesterday to people she didn't know by serving a meal on her birthday. Now, there were four other ladies there that were working from Eagles Way also, and they were doing good. I'm just singling out Lynn because it was her birthday. Where are you doing good? Or have you grown tired and weary in your doing? Because the scripture says that He wants to, you will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Everybody has to encourage themselves at times. I mentioned your markers. What are your markers in your life? Markers are things that encourage you, that remind you, that center you, that bring you back into focus. When I was 6 years old, I accepted Jesus, five or six. I accepted Jesus into my heart. That's a marker in my life. I don't remember it exactly. Can't tell you all that happened. But I know that it happened. And it's something that I have to go back to at times to know, yes, I'm a child of God. At the age of 12, I'll never forget this. I was in Macon Coliseum at a youth rally event. And at that event, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Spoke in tongues. It's been a part of my life. It was a marker. It was something that was important to me. My teenage years, I never turned my back on God, but He sure definitely, I wasn't fully committed to Him. At the age of 18, late in 18, I made a recommitment. It was a marker in my life. I can tell you exactly where I was and what happened and what took place. And I said, and I can tell you, doesn't mean I haven't messed up from that point on, but I've made Christ my priority since then. At the age of 21, I got married. That's a huge marker in your life. There were several things surrounding that. We had prophetic words, they weren't prophetic, that were said that we weren't supposed to be together. And I was confused, and finally, Pastor Buren said, "Will, has your daddy said this is blessed and it's good?" I said, "Yeah." He said, has Jennifer's daddy said this is blessed and this is good?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Then those are just words." And it was a marker in my life. 25, 26. In the throes of youth ministry. I had taken the youth ministry when it was given to me, about 20 people, and I worked it, and I knew what to do and had all of these things and did all this stuff and got it all the way to 8. God said, "You trying to do it, Will?" And he gave me a vision when I was at the beach. Nobody can take that away from me. But it was a marker in my life, and I changed my ministry, did some things different, and God blessed. At the age of 30, my brother passed away. Now, that wasn't a marker in my life because of that. But what God showed me through that, you can never take away from me. God had shared with him some things about death and how his death was not a part of God's plan. Some of you are going, "Ooh, I thought everything was part of God." I don't have time to share that with you now, but I'll share you what God has shown me in those areas. At the age of 40, he refocused me, gave me a plan, a long-range plan. Needed it bad in my life at that time, and he did it for me. And he is still working some things inside of me. And a couple of weeks ago, you may have been here, Pastor Dwayne Swilly was here. And he was praying, and people were at the altar, and I was there, and he was praying over my son. My son wasn't here at the time. Some of you know that Paul had an injury. A bottle blew up, and the piece of glass cut through his cornea completely, all the way sliced, all the way through the lens behind the cornea. And at the time, we didn't know if he was going to lose the eye or not. He's doing good. Doesn't appear that he's going to lose the eye. And it appears that he's going to get full vision reinstated. But the marker, I haven't even got to the story of my marker yet. How many remember were here last year, January of last year, January 2016? How many picked out a word last year? You had a word for the year. Pastor Beeren said, "Get you a word." And you turned it in on a piece of paper. And then in July, we came and we had the bean that was on the wall and we put it down here and you came and you wrote your name on the bean. And the next week it was back there and I wrote my word 4 times on there, not just once. And I was serious about my word. I had picked out my word. I had prayed and asked God about my word. And I was serious about my word. And I wasn't growing weary and well doing. I was into this word. And I was excited. And anytime you get, how many with your word, you had kind of an idea what you thought God was going to do with your word? You know, you envision what you think. So Pastor Buren, towards the end of the year, he's saying, "I thought my word was going to be this, and then it ended up being this." And somebody else would share on a Wednesday night, "I thought my word was this, and I thought it was going to be this, and ended up being this." And so I was kind of like, okay, I'm open. It doesn't have to be what I think it's going to be. I got to the end of 2016, and I got nothing. Nothing on my word. Not a single thing on my word. And I wasn't mad, but I was ticked. I was like, "God, I want a year." And how many did some warfare over your word? I don't mean like, yeah, but you have to keep it before you. You have to work hard to make it important, to keep it there. And I did that, and I was like, and he just said, "Do it another year." Really? Really? Another year? I said, "Okay, God." About February, I was like, "I think I'm just going to give up on this word." So all the more I had to just re-engage. No, it's just a year. I didn't deal with my word every day. But it was probably weekly. I had it posted in my office so that I could see it. And it was something that Pastor Buren, my spiritual father, had asked me to do and to grab hold of and to do and And so I did. And then God said, carry it another year. 2 weeks ago, I was at this altar. Dwayne Swilly's praying over my son that has gone through this horrible accident, and we know, and we were at such peace. We felt like he was going to be okay. So we really haven't been fretting or worrying about him. He is handling it great. He's got a good attitude about it. But I was standing there. Dwayne was here. And he said, God is going to complete it, complete it, complete it. Do you know what that word was? It was complete. And I knew, I couldn't even stay standing. I hit my knees. Because I knew that for a year and a half that I had been warfaring and I've been holding on to something that God had told me to hold on to. And I was doing it for more than just me, and I didn't even know it. I was doing it for my son. So whatever God has told you, whatever God has ministered to you, whatever God has shared with you, I don't really care if it has been 15 years ago, if it's been 6 months ago. Those markers that you have in your life, you're to hold on to those. You're to know those. And you continue to press on those. And you don't grow weary in well-doing. You continue to use the things that God has given you. You continue to share. Because he wants to... 6 months ago, Paul came to me and he said, Dad, I know that there's something more. There's something different. I don't know exactly what it is, but will you pray with me that God's something different? Wasn't what he was expecting, but guess what? He's got something different. He's having to hold somebody's shoulder to walk across the street. But he's in a place where he's saying, okay, God, what do you want to show me? How do you want my faith to grow? How do you want your faith to grow? You may be here and you may not have a relationship with God. That is the most important thing that you can do. And say, God, I need you. Come into my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, you know you're supposed to start a relationship with God because you don't have one. Just slip your hand up right where you're sitting, high in the air. Amen. Amen. As everyone stands. The other thing I feel to do this morning, because I'm telling you, it is, I can't go to a service without tears being right there. God is doing something in me, and he wants to continue to do something in you. And so if you would like for me to just lay hands on you and pray for you this morning, that God will impart the faith. Because what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray that God activates the faith that is already given to you. Because it's inside of you. He gave you a measure of faith. And it just needs to be activated. So if you're here and you need that activated, just come stand right here real quick and we'll pray. I just want you to put your hands forth to these ladies. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the gifts and callings, Lord, that you've placed inside of them. And I ask, Father, Lord, that you activate and you stir that faith, Father, Lord, in them. Allow them, Father, Lord, to begin to see themselves as you see them. Allow them, Father, Lord, to ignite and begin doing out of their being. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll give them the strength, that you'll clear their mind. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So let it be. So let it be. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That's Keith.
Today is Alms Sunday. If you did not come prepared today to bring alms, just put it in next week's offering. We're going to take up an offering out at the amphitheater at the pavilion, and just come prepared to give next Sunday. You know, I had to, I guess from 1986 when I went on staff here, I've been the one that has generated the record, financial records for tithes and offerings every year, and it's like Pastor Will said, we didn't sit around talking about who was tithing and stuff. But I saw it. I saw every family that came to this church for 29 years. I gave it up. We changed systems last year, 2016, so I don't know what's going on now, but for 29 years, it's amazing how you look at families' lives and the ones that tithe and gave offerings, and they just did it on a consistent basis. How blessed their lives were, not only financially, but physically. Businesses prospered. People went through problems, but ones that were consistently in some kind of trouble never gave or were very limited in their giving. And it's like, that was a burden. I was really kind of glad to give it up, because I didn't sit around every Sunday looking at everybody saying, you know, if you get your act together, things would be better. But it created a prayer life in me to pray for families. And as a shepherding pastor in this house, I pray for you anyway. But it was kind of a burden that was lifted off of me not knowing. And I know every one of you today, as we're preparing to usher, if you'll go ahead and pass out the offering buckets, I know that there's so many things that we're thankful for, your job or whatever it is that your income that you're tithing off of. Before I pray, let's take a few minutes. I want you to just be thankful for what God has done in your life. I can't pray that prayer. I can pray a general prayer, but I just want you to take a few seconds to say, Lord, I really am blessed. And today I'm giving everything to you. You're the Lord of my life, and in honor of that, I'm going to bring the first 10% back in offerings and alms. And just take a few minutes. It's just, as they're prepared, you can just pray silently. Lord, you're so good. We are so thankful that you bless our work. There's profit in work. And Lord, the burden's put back on us to bring it back to the storehouse. That when we do that, as the scripture said today, it's not the Lord of heaven, it's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly armies of heaven are watching over what's going on. And Lord, you open up the windows of heaven, you pour out a blessing more than we can receive. The things that we do prosper. Things don't wear out. Things go longer. We're just overtaken by blessing. So, Lord, we're thankful today. We worship you by bringing our tithes and offerings and alms to the house. And, Lord, I just pray your blessings. Just fulfill your promise that when we do that, you'll just bless us. In Jesus' name. Just as a reminder, if you would like credit put on the books for giving alms or anything, there's envelopes out on the table. You can always get those on Sunday and fill them out, and we'll keep the records. everybody would stand. This morning we're going to dismiss with Kitty playing a special song for us, and after that we'll be dismissed. Y'all may be seated. She wanted us seated. Excuse me.